This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. And we're back. Welcome to part two of my conversation with Jay Hammonds from Dial America. If you didn't check it out, make sure to check out part one on the previous episode where we go through more of the formal conversation. This is the after show. This is once the official conversation is done, then just chatting about some things. In fact, I had to cut Jay off real quick because we just started chatting after stopping recording the first part. And I was like, we better hit record. Otherwise, we're not going to get any of this. Jay, welcome. Welcome to the same studio. Here we are. Let's go round two.
Thank you so much.
and that was really fun. I think for anybody who's on a podcast or hosts a podcast, you know, there's a certain amount of prep that happens depending on the type of show. I like very conversational. I don't like a lot of scripted stuff. I end up having some notes of some things that you sent over in our first conversation we had. And then as it happens, you know, just kind of throwing a bunch of curveballs at you. And of course, your lifelong sales, business, servant leader, you're good, whatever I throw at you. And so it was kind of, it was definitely fun from my side and really valuable. There were some things that you said that I really liked. One part in particular, you said where salespeople and like yourself, holding yourself accountable, holding salespeople accountable to stakeholders, which I hadn't really heard that term before, but that's really the key to breaking down those silos of sales versus everybody or everyone versus sales, because sales is just setting up stuff that's no good or is going to be a nightmare for everyone, right?
Oh yeah, we've all lived through those situations where sales can do no wrong, and we've all lived through those situations where sales can do no right. And it just depends on the culture, the environment, what's happening there. But I think over time, what I have learned through some great leaders in the past is that you really have to be part of a team. The days of individual contributors are it's over. We all have to work together to get things done. If I'm not accountable to my client services team, my operations team, and my IT team, how can I possibly communicate successfully to my client? How can I successfully manage those expectations? It's just a path to ruin every time. One way or the other, I'm going to get killed.
Yeah, and I think it really goes to that mindset of what you said many times in the first part, which is sales as service, right? You're solving a problem. You're trying to help someone. And I point out, like I say, you're trying, you know, in sales, you're trying to get someone to a better place, either with you or without you, even if it's just some guidance.
Correct.
To do something else. And when you have that approach, like you said, and you look at the customer in that same light, you want to solve their problem, not get paid today and wish them well, but actually solve their problem, which means actually setting them and the company up for success.
I love making money in sales. I love helping solving problems for people. But the thing that really excites me, the thing that makes me feel like I did something, is when I get a call from somebody who says, "Hey, so and so told me to call you about this thing. Can you help me for a second?" That makes my week, because that means that I helped somebody enough that they felt like they should have somebody else give me a call. And that's when I knew I did a good job. That's when I delivered for somebody. That there's no higher compliment.
I have a networking and podcasting friend, Pablo Gonzalez, who's professionally runs shows for people. He does marketing. He is a genius when it comes to that kind of stuff, like on the social media pocket and for lead generation businesses. I talked to him about a year ago, and I was just talking about business stuff. And he said that his ultimate KPI, his one KPI for himself as a business owner and everything else, his one KPI is the number of times each week, month, or quarter that someone reaches out to him that he respects or looks up to or was referred to, and they're asking for guidance or his advice, right? Not like to hire for business, but just
exactly.
For some insight.
Absolutely.
And that's the one thing he looks at, because that means he's doing everything else right, and it's just funneling up into that one metric.
When people stop calling me saying, "Hey, what do you think of this?" When that KPI drops, I'm going to be in trouble. There's, you know what I mean? That's when I'm no longer relevant to a conversation, and I need to find a new one.
Yeah. So, and then that lack of confidence part that you were talking about, where, you know, when people are lacking that confidence, they can't handle change. I got to tell you that I've never heard it put that way, relative, especially to change management and leadership with salespeople. That's huge. I hope people really, understand that. And then that's something you can control from a company perspective, which is how do I help them build confidence instead of how do I help them deal with the change, the fact that we're going to throw a new script at them tomorrow, right?
When I was in the call center environment, we would do cross trains in the middle of a shift sometime. We would go from one product to another product. And that meant maybe an hour or 2 hours where we would grab 40 people and two trainers and throw them in a room and teach them a new script, new questions, new answers, new responses, new everything in 2 hours. Because we had built an environment, the Eidelman Company, Eidelman Telemarketing, built an environment for that to happen in any one of their call centers at any given time. And I learned so much just from seeing that. If you build the environment to allow that to happen and you've got trainers who are competent and can deliver material, they can deliver it to a mass and then they can go out and execute and you've got supervisors to support them. That's what it's really all about. In the sales world, I'm going to be my own trainer sometimes. I'm going to be my own support staff sometimes. But I can't ever stop investing in learning more about what's going on, both in my industry and in sales as a whole. I need to keep learning.
Different topic, because that's the point of the after show, just throwing random stuff at you even more than the first part. One thing that just popped in my mind, because obviously became a supervisor after a few weeks and then moved up and around and all over the place. For you, what about that balance with you have a vacancy or you need to move somebody up, you want to promote from within, top performer on the team, not top performer? What do you look for when you have that spot that needs to be filled?
You know, that's a really tough question, and I try not to look at it that way as far as top performer. I mean, it's going to come into the conversations when you're looking at supervisors and things like that. But honestly, you're looking for attitude. I need attitude. And what you're doing, one of my mentors was a guy named Larry Latimer. And he broke it down for me that there are conscious competence, unconscious competence. He broke that whole paradigm down for me. And I'm looking for conscious competence. And that may not be my top performer in some cases. Some people just have, for lack of a better term, the jazz, and they just are able to do it. They may not ever be able to explain to anybody how they did it, but they can do it. I don't need that as a leader. I need someone who can break it down and explain the process that got them to success. I don't need rock stars. I don't need home runs. I need singles every day. I need hit singles.
And that's it. And that's fascinating you put it that way, right? Is that conscious competence. I mean, I talk about that a lot where, you know, someone who's just has some natural talents and it just comes to them. They can see the matrix.
Right.
And they can't explain to everyone else how to see the matrix. That makes for a very dangerous supervisor, manager, leader who will be impatient and frustrated with everyone else who can't see them.
It goes back to what I said before about managing expectations. That person is not going to be able to manage expectations. They kick chairs because they don't understand why the chair isn't as smart as them. I don't need that as a leader.
I love it. It's so true. And that is so important. So for people listening there, if you're running a company, you have spots, you want to move people up, look for that conscious competence, which means they are competent and they actually know why, right? It's not just unconscious and they're just doing it by gut and intuition and just, you know, feeling their way through. Like, they actually know what they're doing, which means they can translate that into helping other people actually do it, right? It's why a lot of the best players in sports don't make good coaches, because it's so unconscious for them. It's just what they do and they know, versus knowing how to do it and why, and then teaching other people. So important.
That conscious competence is what makes successful teams in every regard, because I have to be able to, again, I have to be able to understand what my clients want. I have to be able to understand what my stakeholders need, and I have to build something from that. And I need everybody in that whole conversation to be conscious and competent during the entire thing, or things go off the rails real quick.
Yeah, for sure. One last thing I wanted to ask you about. It was in your intro that will be in the show notes, but I didn't read it because sometimes the intros, you know, they get long. I just want to get into it. Part of me is impatient. I just want to chat. In your stuff, talking about your outside life and things that you do, you put in here, claims to be a frustrated stand-up comic in real life.
True story.
What is that about?
Oh, gosh. Probably about 15 years ago, I decided that I would put my snark to use and actually try to get up and start doing some comedy. I did a couple of open mic nights. I got paid to be a comic. I got paid for a set. And that was like a profession. That was like a life bucket list thing for me. My dream job is writing for a late night TV show. That's for sure.
Okay. So do you still do stand-up comedy? Do you do it from time to time?
It's been a little bit, because I think there was a moment there where after I got paid for a set and I had an opportunity to do a couple of other sets and I had a couple, you know what I mean? There was a couple of opportunities to get into that circuit kind of thing, right? And I was 40 years old at the time. And the idea of traveling from Des Moines, Iowa to Cedar Rapids, Iowa to whatever by bus for 52 years just didn't really sound awesome. And I don't think the likelihood of me getting my own HBO special is very high. So I, you know, it was a fun thing, but it's something that I never stop thinking about. I still write all the time. I'm still always writing, particularly when I read the news or watch the news. That always makes me write.
I feel like listeners or people watching would be mad at me if I didn't ask this question, because I would think the same thing. Any podcast appropriate jokes you have on deck can do? And I know you weren't prepared for this. That's the fun part about this.
Sorry, I should have put my phone on Do Not Disturb. Sorry about that. Here's the best joke that I've got. And this is my kids are in college and they love me. I know they love me. I'm sure they love me, despite the fact that I text them the worst jokes that I can possibly come up with on a given day. And I don't send them dirty jokes usually, but every now and then. Today's joke was, I just got back from the doctor and I found out I have the peekaboo virus. They sent me straight to the ICU. That's all you're going to get out of me. That's all you're going to get out of me. And that's not a joke I would ever tell on stage, but that's what I got for you today. I'm sorry.
It's classic dad joke mode via text. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a great way to end.
I feel like as a comic, the best response I get is from my kids when they say, "Shut up, dad." That means that I nailed it.
You nailed it. If you got a groan from the kids, because it's just like, oh, then yeah, I think that's a winner for sure.
Yeah.
Well, once again, thank you for coming on the show, for sharing all the stuff. I know I'm taking tons of notes. That's why I enjoy doing the podcast. That's where it's valuable and fun for me, because you're putting it in ways like I haven't heard of and things that I want to use with my clients and just put that stuff out there. So super valuable, very fun. I loved it even more than I thought, our conversation might be. So, Jay, thank you
That's
for
awesome. Thanks.
Putting up with part one and part two.
Thanks so much. I really enjoyed this too.
Anything else? I know I shared the places where people can find you. You know, obviously people listening, watching this, they can check the show notes, either dialamerica.com or LinkedIn. Anything else? Any other content? Any other fun stuff? Any other even recommendations for where people should go? Like you said, where, you know, people are kind of teaching themselves, or I guess just some value out there that you know of that would help people.
You know, some of the LinkedIn groups have some tremendous content. And I think if you just, you can get in a rabbit hole real quick, whatever you want to learn about it, you can find just about anything out there. The interwebs are your friends, consume that information, because you'll find some that's good and you'll find some that contradicts that, and you'll find reasons to question things, and you'll find reason to ask better questions. Ask better questions. That's what it always comes down to.
I love it. Ask better questions. Fantastic. Jay, thanks for being on the show. And for everyone watching and listening, make sure you check out part one of our conversation. So much value and gold in there that we then expanded on in this. If you like this conversation, part one is going to be amazing. Make sure to check that out. Until next time, keep selling with authentic persuasion.